to the St. Coleman Catholic Church in Pompano Beach, but he could still face legal action after the church reported the incident to the state attorney's office. The Miami Archbishop says the breach of trust saddens and disappoints him. The Sun Sentinel reports the archdiocese reviewed the congregation's financial records after getting reports that the priest was diverting money, and he did agree to resign last Wednesday. The parish administrator has taken Father Pawlik's place. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A Hilton Head, South Carolina woman was attacked and killed by an alligator as she walked her dog near a lagoon. The attack occurred this morning at 9:30 a.m. around the Sea Pines Resort in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Authorities said the dog was unharmed. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you could start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Facebook has been accused by many conservatives of censoring or removing posts. Now, they apologized on Friday for doing exactly that to Prager University. Prager University is run by Dennis Prager, and it puts out videos from time to time on YouTube and Facebook dealing with various political, economic, and philosophical topics. Craig Strazzeri is PragerU's chief marketing officer. He was asked his thoughts on Facebook's apology.
Yeah, I mean, it's laughable. Give me a break. Nobody really believes this was a mistake. They removed not one but two videos as hate speech, and then after that, they subsequently censored 15 of our posts to reach zero of our 3 million followers. That doesn't sound like a mistake to me. It sounds like deliberate censorship of conservative ideas. Look, Mark Zuckerberg recently said that he is committed to making Facebook a platform for all ideas. Mr. Zuckerberg is failing on that commitment. This is a long-running pattern now. Facebook clearly, like other big tech companies, do not like ideas that they don't agree with.
Strazzeri was also asked on Fox News why this is such a big problem.
This is very serious. It's something that should be scaring every American. I'm glad that the President of the United States tweeted about big tech censorship yesterday or over the weekend, but it's unbelievable that the mainstream media continues to ignore this issue. If someone on the left was censored or had their videos removed, there would be riots in the street, and every single network would be covering this with wall-to-wall coverage.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And we're live in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle at Houghton Hunterdon. I'm going to be patching in our guest in just a moment. So everyone take a collective technical IT type of breath to make sure everything goes smoothly. And we'll be patching them in just a minute. We do have a special guest today. So we'll be talking to a candidate, and we'll be telling you all about that in just a moment. We do have to make sure that we pay our bills around here. So do a few commercials and get the news on, and hopefully we'll come back with our guests. Stay with us.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is hosting a salute to heroes for ICE and CBP, recognizing them for their dangerous work and what they do to protect America's borders. During his remarks, the president discussed the wall.
And the wall is getting longer and taller and stronger each and every day. We've spent and will soon be spending about $3.2 billion, and we're looking for about $5 billion for this next coming year. We're building the wall, and it's not easy because we have a little opposition called the Democrats. I guess they just don't mind crime. They don't mind crime. It's pretty sad.
Today, National Security Advisor John Bolton met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and the topic turned to Iran.
And I frankly believe that all countries who care about peace and security in the Middle East should follow America's lead and ratchet up the pressure on Iran.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
And we have our guest on the phone. Hopefully he can hear us. We'll make his Mike live in just a moment, and we'll get back to the weather when we have less interesting things to do here. We do have to pay the bills here, so we'll do a commercial, give you a quick update on the weather, and then we'll bring our guest on.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And this is basically our weather. We have to get through today and tomorrow with some slight chance of showers today, and tomorrow we may have some heavy rain. Once we do that, Wednesday we'll be back to feeling like summer with a high of 83. Thursday is your beach or pool day. It's going to be not a cloud in the sky and a high of 79. And Friday, another hot, sunny day with a high of 81. So let's just hang in there for a few more days. I know it doesn't feel like summer at all, but it is, and it'll be back before you know it. We'll do our 30-second commercial, and then we'll be back with our guest.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, I'm going to just do a little test here. Do we have our guest on the phone? We don't. All right, so we'll go back to the news here, and then we'll get all this tech stuff out of the way somehow. I'm not exactly sure how, but stay with us.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is hosting a salute to heroes for ICE and CBP, recognizing them for their dangerous work and what they do to protect America's borders. During his remarks, the president discussed the wall.
And the wall is getting longer and taller and stronger each and every day. We've spent and will soon be spending about $3.2 billion, and we're looking for about $5 billion for this next coming year. We're building the wall, and it's not easy because we have a little opposition called the Democrats. I guess they just don't mind crime. They don't mind crime. It's pretty sad.
Today, National Security Advisor John Bolton met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and the topic turned to Iran.
And I frankly believe that all countries who care about peace and security in the Middle East should follow America's lead and ratchet up the pressure on Iran.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
We'll do media, right? Hi, Hi, we're just, as usual, experiencing our technical difficulties here in the studio with technology. I should have Murray with me. Murray, are you there? Okay, Murray, can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, great. I think we have Chris here doing our IT stuff, so I think we're live here. So if you can let our listeners know your name and the exciting news that we have to share with everyone.
Well, this is Murray Sabrin, Libertarian Party candidate for the United States Senate, and we released our poll today showing that we have 16% support throughout New Jersey, even though people haven't been able to hear about our campaign because the print media have had a virtual blackout of any activities of our campaign. And so that's heartening to know that one out of six New Jerseyans are going to vote for us right now, even though a quarter of them only have heard about the campaign. So we're very excited about the prospects of what's going to happen this fall, because people are tired, I think, of the two-party system, which from my perspective has been a one-party system for decades now, and people are looking for real change, not just this rhetorical lip service change that both Republicans and Democrats have been feeding the electorate for decades. So we're gratified with the poll. In fact, the poll numbers show that I'm leading in the age group of 18 to 29, which of course is my constituents, because I teach young people from 18 to 22 at the college, and I have a lot of students who graduated are in that age group, and I'm also doing very well with people in the next age group, people in their 30s and early 40s, who I've taught over the last 33 years. So we're getting a lot of traction with young people, and I think we're going to get a lot of traction with senior citizens as well, as they learn about how Medicare is raising their premiums to astronomical levels over the next 10, 15 years. And the incumbent Senator Menendez has done nothing about it, even though he claims to be a great public servant for the people of New Jersey. And given what's happening with Medicare premiums, I think his assertion is really bogus. It's fraudulent. He's not been taking care of the people's Medicare premiums, which are just going to go out of sight. And that's going to put a real burden on the people of New Jersey, since they're already under the thumb of high income taxes, high sales taxes, and high property taxes.
So, Murray, that's a great way for me to segue into the opportunity. You mentioned that you feel that you have a connection to the young voters. Can you please tell my listeners about your backgrounds and
sure.
and how it is that you are connected to the youth of society here?
Well, let me give you just a brief overview. Last week, actually 10 days ago, roughly, was the 69th anniversary of our coming to America. I came to America when I was just a two-year-old. My parents were the only ones in their families who survived World War II in their native Poland. We came to New York City and lived in Lower Manhattan in the Bronx. I went to the Bronx High School of Science, one of the most prestigious public academic high schools in the country in the 1960s. Went to college, studied history, geography, and social studies education. Went to Rutgers in 1972 to get a PhD in economic geography. And I've been teaching at Ramapo College since 1985. And so I've had a wonderful career at the college teaching initially economics and finance, now strictly finance. And my favorite course to teach is the financial history of the United States, which I've been teaching for the last several years, being a history major and a finance professor. I think the two blend together so students can understand what the challenges were throughout American history in terms of the money and banking issues, which have been a thorn in the American people's side for 200 years. And it's still a problem because we've had back-to-back bubbles in the 90s and the 2000s. And now we have what some people have called the everything bubble, where everything's inflated. And we know when things go up to the sky in terms of housing prices and stock prices and other prices of assets, they come down to earth. That's what we're probably going to see over the next several years. And I just want to add one thing, is that this coming Friday, August 24th, my wife and I will be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. So we just came back from a trip to celebrate our marriage of 50 years. And my wife and I said we're looking forward to the next 50 years.
Well, looking at the next 50 years, what type of impact do you want to make that you threw your hat in the ring as a U.S. senator?
Well, let me tell you what I think is going to happen if current trends continue. And that's really the caveat. What if current trends continue that have been in place not only for 50 years, but for the next 100 years? I think we're going to have a single-payer healthcare system, which means that the government, insurance companies, and big pharma will control the healthcare of the American people instead of doctors and patients. This, to me, is one of the most troubling aspects, because that means the government is going to have the control over the life and death of the American people, especially when it comes to senior citizens who the government may feel doesn't deserve service, because we know when the government's involved in healthcare, they tend to ration coverage in a way that is incompatible with good medical practices. So that's what one of my big concerns is, what the healthcare system will look like over the next 50 years. And I think I can make an impact because I grew up in America in the 1950s and 60s before Medicare and Medicaid, before big government got involved in healthcare, and it was pretty simple. You went to the doctor, you paid a small fee for a doctor's visit. There was no insurance papers to fill out. There was no administrative staff that you had to go through in order to get your payment taken care of. And then in 1961, my father had a major operation. He was a blue-collar worker, and he had some problems that he had to get resolved, and he went to a prestigious hospital in Manhattan. And he was a blue-collar worker. He had Blue Cross Blue Shield. And as I recall, there was no angst over the bills that he got. I think Blue Cross Blue Shield paid for just about everything. And that's the purpose of insurance, is to only pay for catastrophic or extraordinary expenses, as opposed to every doctor bill that you get for going to the eye doctor or the nose and throat specialist or whatever the case may be. We should pay out of pocket for routine visits to doctors, and when we have a major illness, whether it's a heart operation or a brain operation or a cancer treatment, that's when insurance should kick in, so we don't bankrupt the individual or the family. And that's the true purpose of insurance. Instead, insurance has been turned upside down, where it's become a prepayment for all our medical costs, and that's not the purpose of good financially sound insurance practices. So I think that's one issue I'm going to tackle. The other thing is I think I can make a difference regarding international relations and this endless wars that we've had since the end of the Vietnam War in 1975, and then with the collapse of the Soviet Union, we were promised a peace dividend, that military expenditures would go down, we would have peaceful relations around the world, because as Ronald Reagan said, the evil empire has disappeared. And we're supposed to have cordial relations with people around the world. As George Washington said in his farewell address, let's have peaceful relations and commerce with all people. So that would give us a peaceful world. Instead, we have troops all over the world. We have troops in 900 bases. We have military still in Germany, nearly 75 years after the end of World War II. We have troops in South Korea, 65 years after the end of the Korean War. We have troops in Japan. I mean, we have troops all over the world, and we have porous borders. And so this is what people are concerned about, is that when we came to America, we followed the procedure, the protocol that was the main way of getting into America at that time, was getting a sponsor. So my father wrote his first cousin, who came to America in 1946, right after World War II. He wrote his great aunt, and they gave us papers that we that they used to get to America legally. And we had a nonprofit organization help us out, according to what my parents told me, because I don't remember what it was like in the late 1940s, early 50s, when I was just an infant. And so that's the proper way of coming to America. Get sponsorship, let the sponsors be responsible for your needs until you become financially independent. And this way we don't have an illegal immigration problem like we've had now for the past 40, 50 years.
So I'm actually curious, what made you want to run in a U.S. race versus a New Jersey race?
Well, I think I've given my experience in addressing national issues since the 1970s, since the early 1970s, when I realized that the welfare state, the warfare state that Lyndon Johnson cemented on America with the Vietnam War and the Great Society programs were not going to be helpful to the American people. And look what's happened over the past 50 plus years. The national debt is now $21 trillion. When Reagan became president, it was less than $1 trillion. And look at the budget. It's now over $4 trillion. When Kennedy became president, he gave us the first $100 billion budget. Now the budget is 40 times higher. Obviously, the population has grown, but social welfare spending has gone through the roof. And so what's happened is very simple. The American people are now relying more and more on the government, which means taxes and borrowing, in order to meet their basic needs. And that's not the America that I grew up in back in the 1950s and 60s, where my parents taught me, go to school, get an education, get a career, save your money so you'll be a financially independent individual, and get married if that's what you want to do, and if you want to have a family, have a family. And that's what America is supposed to be all about, is self-development, having opportunity, and working within the community through the nonprofit sector to help people who need assistance temporarily in order to become financially independent. That's why the theme of my campaign is peace, liberty, and prosperity. All the things that I think decent people, common sense people want, not only for themselves, but for future generations, of having peaceful relations around the world, developing a free market economy that's going to create prosperity for all people, and have financial independence, where the nonprofit sector really helps people get on their two feet instead of being dependent for a good portion of their lives. So what I do is take the oath that I took in 1969 when I became a U.S. citizen, and this past June was the 59th anniversary of my becoming a U.S. citizen. So I took an oath to uphold the Constitution, which means the Bill of Rights and all the other amendments to the Constitution, which would give us a free and limited government society. Instead, both Republicans and Democrats have ignored the Constitution and created spending programs that are not authorized under Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. That's why we have a crisis in America. It's not because the private sector can't deliver the goods and services. The private sector is doing extremely well. You go to any mall, you go to any big box stores, you can find anything that you want. And if you can't find it, you go to Amazon and it's there, and it gets shipped to you the next day, which is incredible logistics of how this company has really revolutionized retailing. And so the private sector is doing quite well. The problem, one of the problems that we have, is the bubbles that we've experienced the last 25 years, and we're in another bubble. And that's one of my big concerns, is monetary policy. And I've written about the Federal Reserve since the 1970s, actually forecasting that if the Federal Reserve doesn't stop manipulating interest rates, which they've been doing for the past 100 years, we're going to keep on getting these boom and bust cycles, and we're in another boom. And unfortunately, President Trump, who during the campaign said we're in a big bubble, now is taking credit for the bubble, which is, I think, a big mistake on his part, because when the bubble burst, people are going to blame him for it when it's not his fault. It's the Federal Reserve's fault. So he got it right through the campaign, and he's, I think, missing an opportunity to say, listen, folks, we have a bubble, and we just have to prepare for when the bubble bursts, and the bubble's going to burst sometime in the future. Nobody knows when that's going to happen, but the Federal Reserve historically keeps on raising interest rates, and then all the excesses of the boom get revealed, like we had the housing bubble and the dot-com bubble, and then that's when you get a major decline in stock prices, especially of the overvalued companies that whose prices have gone through the roof. So we don't know when that's going to happen, but there are some indications that it's not that far in the future.
Well, you're talking a lot about businesses and the large businesses like Amazon, but of course, the U.S. government funds a lot of business ventures and initiatives and tax credits, and certainly the Small Business Administration is under, you know, their disaster loan program. All of that is under the federal government. How do you feel about those programs?
Well, they should be phased out as quickly as possible. That's not a free enterprise economy. We need to have a free enterprise economy, which means the people are in charge of demanding what they want and not what the government thinks that they want. Look what happened with Solyndra, the solar panel company. With great fanfare, Obama went to their headquarters, I think it was in California. They got a lot of guaranteed loans. The company went belly up and no longer is in existence. If you don't allow the free market to allocate goods and services, which is economics 101, you're going to get distortions. You get either overproduction or distortions in the allocation of resources. This is just basic economics that are taught in the high schools and colleges. Unfortunately, people don't embrace that because when they become public officials, they ignore what they learned in economics. If they've ever taken economics, like the incumbent senator, and they think that they can pass the law and they can make the economy better, let the marketplace work. That's what I learned 50 years ago, and I was studying economics 45 years ago. And this is just fundamental principles of economics and finance that are in the textbooks.
It's true, and I did get an A in my economics class over at FDU, so let's see if the money that I spent on my undergraduate education has paid off. So then how do we approach the argument about programs like specific programs to help, let's say, women-owned businesses or minority? Like, how do we, as a being able to use the supply and demand and the Adam Smith principles and all of that, how do we try to, or do we make up for the hardships of this unequal playing ground?
Well, that's a great question, and I have a solution for that. One of my key platform agendas is universal credits, tax credits, for donations to nonprofits who do great work in the community, whether it's education, whether it's housing, whether it's healthcare, whether it's food banks, whether it's Habitat for Humanity, whether it's the Red Cross. We need to replace the welfare state and all these other programs with the nonprofit sector. I mean, the Gates Foundation has $55 billion in assets. You know how much good they can do around the country with $55 billion? And that's just one foundation. You add up all the money that's out there. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that can be used locally to help people start businesses, to become more financially literate, to develop the skills that they need for technical work, whether it's in an automobile dealership with the high-tech equipment they have there, or the artificial intelligence, which is, I guess, the next big wave in technology. So we need local resources, local people doing all the good work that they've done throughout American history. Before the Great Depression, they were called mutual aid societies, where they would deal with unemployment and health care and all the issues that people faced in America from the colonial times up until the Great Depression. They're still doing it, but unfortunately, the Great Depression co-opted a lot of the nonprofits, and so people are more and more dependent upon these government programs, which, from my perspective as a libertarian, it's based upon coercion. Taxes are coercive, and I don't believe that a society should be based upon coercion. A society should be based upon voluntary arrangements between people, and that's what freedom and liberty are all about, instead of this top-down, trickle-down welfareism that we've had for corporations, which I'm opposed to. The bailouts of 2008, I was opposed. The incumbent senator voted for them. This is crony capitalism. This is not free market capitalism. This is anti-Adam Smith economics. To go back to basic economics and let supply and demand determine the structure of the economy, instead of people thinking, hey, I've got an idea, let's have a government program to do this. And the only way the government gets money, as we know, is through taxation. So there's an opportunity cost. When the government taxes us, there's less money available for people and businesses and corporations to do what they think is in their best interest. And so now we have 100 people in the Senate, we have 435 people in the House of Representatives. Why should they allocate $4 trillion of the American people's money? And a quarter of it is borrowed, which drives up interest rates and distorts the capital markets. So we need to go back to what works, which is basic economics of supply and demand, of sound money, of letting the market determine interest rates and not the Federal Reserve manipulating interest rates. Mm. And so these are things I've been writing about, talking about for more than four decades, and now I think I have an opportunity to go to the United States Senate, have that platform in the well of the Senate, get on C-SPAN, get on the Sunday talk show host, and really educate the American people and, quite frankly, the CEOs that if you're going to take the risk of being an entrepreneur, you take the risk. Don't try to socialize the risk and putting it on taxpayers who have no responsibility to you as a taxpayer because your business goes belly up. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you take the risk and you benefit. It's called profits. And don't socialize the cost with or your losses. That's the fundamental principle that I will be promoting as a United States senator.
We should also point out that community-based organizations and nonprofit organizations, if you look at their balance sheets, their administrative costs, typically, I think the Attorney General guidelines are they should be under 18%. And certainly, you know, if you look at how much it costs a government to run a program, it would sometimes be easier just to hand people cash than to have the bureaucracy of a government to do a program. And if you wouldn't mind speaking on something, we were always perplexed here and with your economic background. When the stimulus money came out and the ARRA money, money was funneled into the food stamps or the SNAP program to you know, stimulate the economy. And it always saddens me that the entire stimulus package started out with relying on those that are the poorest, because we knew that they would spend their money. If they had the money, they would spend the money or the benefit. So can you talk to us a little bit about that and how you would ensure that any other type of program, stimulus programs, what that would look like if you were a senator?
Yeah, this is a great point, because remember the cash for clunkers thing?
Yes.
The government would give you money for buying a new car. These things are just temporary band-aids for what is needed, which is sustainable prosperity, which is based upon going back to fundamentals, supply and demand. You cannot force feed an economy. That's why socialism doesn't work. That's why a mixed economy has all these distortions, and they don't deliver the goods that people want. So I go back to my fundamental point, is that if the government gets out of the way, the men and women who run companies, who run small businesses throughout Huntington County and the rest of the state, they will flourish as long as they meet consumer demands. That's really what the key of entrepreneurship is about, is knowing what consumers want and fulfilling those demands, whether it's food demand, restaurant demand, clothing demand, entertainment demand. It's the consumer is king, and that's what is the essence of a free enterprise economy, is that the consumer directs production, and it's the entrepreneur that has to gather the factors of production to make sure that consumers' needs are met. A free market economy is a consumer-based economy, but Keynesian economics, which has taken over the global economy since the 1930s, is based upon the government spending a lot of money to boost consumer demand. We don't need that. We just need the government to get out of the way and let entrepreneurs do what they do best, what they're trained to do, which is meet consumer needs. And you have young people that are doing it. You hear these stories of these young people in their teen years. They start a business in their basement, in their bedroom, whatever the case may be, and become quite successful. And what we need to do is encourage a culture of entrepreneurship, encourage a culture of non-profitization, if you will. And all those things coming together will give us a free society, will give us a limited government, and will give us more prosperity than we've ever seen before. And if you look at America in the latter part of the 19th century, that's exactly what America was like. We didn't have any wars. We didn't have any major government intervention in the economy. And we had the greatest prosperity in the history of the country. We grew at 3.8%, I think, for like 20 years. This is a period of incredible industrialization of steel, of oil, of copper, of food products. I mean, you name it. That was the beginning of what was the foundation for the growth of the 20th century.
But it did. But that did come on the backs of the Great Depression and the market crashing.
Oh, well, what happened was we had tremendous excesses because of the easy money of the 1920s, which gave us the Great Depression. So the Great Depression was not caused by the free market, which a lot of left-wing economists think it was. It was caused by the Federal Reserve trying to stimulate the economy. In fact, Alan Greenspan, who served as the Federal Reserve chief from 1987 until he retired in 2006, he wrote a great article in 1967 pointing to 1966, pointing this out in an essay called Golden Economic Freedom. He pointed out how the Federal Reserve was stimulating the economy with cheap interest rates that gave us a stock market boom and a real estate boom that crashed in the fall of 1929. And then Hoover made every mistake possible as president. And Roosevelt continued that, even though he ran in 1932 as a fiscal conservative, but he basically expanded Hoover's interventionist programs. And that's why the Depression lasted a full decade, more than a full decade, from 1929 until we got into World War II, and then we took 12 million Americans and put them into uniform and cured the unemployment problem. But we didn't cure the depression, because we didn't have a war economy with very little consumer goods. So again, this is what I go over with my students in my financial history class, in the latter part of the course when we go into the 1920s and 30s and the post-World War II period. And this is exciting because students never get this stuff in any other course, because when they learn about history, economics is shunted to the side, and when they study economics, history is shunted to the side. So I try to bring it all together for students to show them that there are reasons the economies experience these boom and bust cycles, and how an economy grows through savings and investment, which is the essence of capitalism. That's why it's called capitalism. You need capital to grow. Any business person knows that, whether it's a little capital working with a computer in your home doing a software program or a platform for other businesses, or capital to build like Jobs and Wozniak did in the 1970s when they built the first Apple computer. So there are people who are creative, who are geniuses, and Jeff Bezos is another one who started a business from scratch and developed into this gigantic enterprise called Amazon, which is getting involved in every aspect of our lives. And I think with Amazon's next venture could be into healthcare, which hopefully will reduce healthcare costs, which we desperately need, since we're spending an incredible amount of money on healthcare in this country, and the outcomes are not that great. But I'm pretty optimistic because there are so many people working in scientific research that they're going to be extending life expectancy tremendously in the 21st century. So that's one of the exciting developments that I think we're going to see over the next 50 years. But the problem with that will be is that Social Security will have to fund their longevity, and that's going to be a problem for young people whose taxes are going to have to be raised in order to fulfill the obligations of Social Security over the next 50, 75 years.
I just want to touch back on something you said in the beginning, and then I have to take a break, and you're welcome to stay with us for our whole program, or you can, if you have another appointment, we understand. But when you started talking about the Medicare and Medicaid programs, I just wanted to be clear that when Medicare was introduced, there was a hospital portion, and then there was a health care portion.
Right,
so,
right.
Okay, it wasn't just for the hospital care, or
right.
They did have two parts to that in the beginning.
Right.
And I know it changed and things changed, but we always do like to make sure people are clear over here.
Sure.
Okay, so we're going to take a break. Murray, if you can stay with us, that's great. Do you have time in your...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic.
This is important to get the message out for people to understand that there's a third choice for them to vote in November, and I think I offer the best alternative for the incumbent senator.
Fantastic. Great. So I'm going to mute Murray for a little bit while we pay the bills over here, because we do have an obligation to our sponsors who paid for some ads, but then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about the different types of systems that we have and how different choices, when you pick a candidate for an election, what you should be looking at and what the each and every party is able to offer you for your vote. So we'll be back. Stay with us.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And that was our CEO of the Hunterdon Chamber here, Chris Faitland, telling us a little bit about some business growth, which is pretty consistent with our topic. So we'll be back to talk with our U.S. Senator, Murray Sabin, and get through our commercials. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and this is Hot in Hunterdon.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first, We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we were treated a few times to the voice of Chris Phelan. So before we go live back here with our guests, I'd like to just let everyone know, since we were on a commercial, we have Murray Sabrin with us. He is a candidate for U.S. Senate, and he is on the Libertarian ticket, which he just had a very exciting information on that. So I'm going to bring him back live on our show. And, you know, here at Hot and Hunterdon, we like to deal with the hot issues, hot topics, certainly the economy, the state of economics in our country is an issue. So I'm going to put Murray back on here. Great, you're with us again, Murray.
Hi, thank you.
So let's just jump right back in. Your race had some exciting news that you were able to start off the hour talking to us about. You had a significant milestone that was met. Would you mind sharing that again for our listeners that are just coming on with us now?
Well, according to the poll we commissioned that was released today, we are at 16% in a three-way race. The other two candidates are at 31 and 30% respectively. And so there is a large number of undecided voters as of today or last week when the poll was conducted. And we're getting traction, and they've outspent us about $400 to one of our dollars. So we're getting a lot of traction with a very little budget that we've so far used, and we're hoping to raise quite a bit of money over the next 35-40 days. In fact, I just got a video from a former congressman and presidential candidate, Ron Paul, which is going to go up on our Facebook page tonight and Twitter, where he asked people around the country, especially in New Jersey, to support our campaign with volunteer work and donations so we can get our message out. And when people hear our message, we're getting support from Democrats, we're getting support from Republicans, independents, constitutionalists, conservatives, pro-lifers, pro-Second Amendment people. Anyone who wants to have someone represent them in the United States Senate for principles that are not my personal principles, these are principles that are based upon sound legal financial principles that should govern America. And that really comes down to the single most important question about government. What is the proper role of government in a free society? And I think the founders gave us that in the Bill of Rights. If you read the Bill of Rights, it's basically a libertarian document. It talks about freedom of the press and religion, freedom of assembly. These are fundamental libertarian ideas that the founders incorporated in the Bill of Rights. The right of self-defense, which is the Second Amendment, something near and dear to my heart because my father was a partisan commander during World War II, and without his ability to have firearms, he couldn't defeat the Nazis in Poland. And so even the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights acknowledges that in Article 3, where it states that every human being has the right of security. Now, that means that you have the right to self-defense, and the right to self-defense means you have to have some tool, if you will, in order to protect yourself, because not everyone's a karate expert or a kung fu expert, so you need something to protect yourself, especially in rural counties like Hunterdon, where it takes the police a long time to get to them if you're calling 911.
If you even have a police department, sometimes you have to rely on the state police to respond to 911 calls around here.
Yeah, and so to me, the right of self-defense is so fundamental. It's a basic human right that I've been on radio shows and other venues, and I say, even if the Second Amendment didn't exist, people still have the right to self-defense. That's a basic human right. I'm very clear on my position that the Second Amendment is there for acknowledging that the government recognizes the people's right to defend themselves using the right to bear arms. And obviously, you should be trained in firearms. And in New Jersey, the Second Amendment is hanging by a thread because, as we know, it's virtually impossible to have a firearm in public to protect yourself. In fact, if something happens at a mall or on the road or anything like that, you're basically defenseless because the law states that you have to keep your firearm and your bullets separate in a locked trunk, which means that if something happens on the road, you can't do anything. And if you go to a mall, you can't protect yourself. Now, fortunately, we haven't had any incidents. But the point is, it's not up to the government to determine whether we should be able to protect ourselves. We should make that determination on our own. Now, some people don't like firearms. I understand that completely. But some people are trained, like I have been trained. I've had a year of training in the classroom and on the firing range. And I've had as much training as I think any police officer or state trooper in New Jersey or any part of the country. And so I think I don't have to have a special justifiable need. My justifiable need is I want to protect my life, my wife's life, if we go out in public and, God forbid, something happens. So that's the justifiable need. Instead, the government in New Jersey says that you have to go before a judge and really point out that there's an imminent threat to your life. Well, how do you know that if you're out in public? There could be a random shooter like we've had in malls around the state over the years. And so...
Now you're talking about the carrying laws.
It's so fundamental that any public official that doesn't recognize it, I don't believe deserves to be in office.
I think you're referring now to the carrying laws in New Jersey.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, they're the most draconian, I think, in the country.
Okay, so let's just be clear for our listeners so they understand the differences and the how that varies in different states. Some states, if you have a gun permit, you have a license to carry, and in New Jersey, there's a separate process for that.
Well, here's the interesting point I want to make about being a U.S. senator and upholding the Constitution. Now, members of the New Jersey State Legislature and the governor also take an oath to uphold the Constitution, as does the Supreme Court justices. So the question is, are the laws of states that restrict firearm ownership a gross violation of people's constitutional rights? Now, that's something that I think is fascinating to explore, because if that's the case, then it could be argued that any state that does not allow people to exercise their Second Amendment rights is a law that should be repealed. And that's something I would look at as a U.S. senator, if even though I believe in federalism, the 10th Amendment, which says that states have the right to impose laws on their citizens, but does that mean they can override the Second Amendment? And this is a very interesting constitutional issue that I would explore, because people in New Jersey don't have the same rights as people in other parts of the country have regarding the Second Amendment.
So can we ask your philosophical brain, and you have a PhD, I don't have an Ivy League college here, but we're going to explore this. This is not necessarily any opinion, but it does in our basic classes, you know, certainly in college, and how the Constitution works. So you take something like the legalization of marijuana. The federal government says that it's illegal, but now you have states that have legal marijuana.
Right.
So tell us about that a little bit, if you don't mind, from your point of view, because here you have a constitution that the federal government has identified certain things as being illegal, and yet the states, not the federal government, is saying, oh, no, this is legal. How can you, you know, justify that to a young mind?
Well, this is a great question, because it comes at the heart of our federalist system, a federalism system, where the states have rights under the Constitution, and there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that says the federal government has the right to regulate or prohibit marijuana. Remember, we had the 18th Amendment, because back then, when they wanted to prohibit alcohol, they knew they couldn't pass a law because there was nothing in the Constitution that gave the federal government the right to ban alcohol. So they amended the Constitution that says, yes, the federal government now has the right to ban alcohol, and they did it, and it was a disaster for the country. That's how we got organized crime.
Yes.
That's how we got Al Capone. That's how we got organized crime getting a windfall in money and corrupting the whole political system from judges to legislators to mayors and what have you. And you would think that politicians would learn that prohibition leads to black markets. Black markets lead to the attraction of the most violent people in our society who have no qualms about killing people to get these excess gains from prohibition. And so just from a practical point of view, things should be legalized because it will eliminate all the crime. And Portugal is a good example of decriminalization, and they're treating drug addicts as who have problems with a medical approach as opposed to a criminal approach, and it seems to be working fine from everything I've been reading about the Portugal experience with decriminalization.
Very interesting. So we do like to explore different hot topics here on Hot 100, and so thanks for indulging on us with that. And because you are, we do have a broadcast here where we have an internet-based podcast that'll be available tomorrow, but I do always like to bring it back to Hunterdon. And I know that you or people from your campaign will be at the Hunterdon Fair at the end of the month, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to invite my listeners to come and visit with you and or your staff.
Absolutely. As you know, I was Libertarian Party candidate for governor in 1997, and I did extremely well in Huntington County. As I recall from the data, and your staff, and one of the listeners can check this out, I think I got over 20% of the vote in Huntington County.
That's amazing.
And that's because of the gun issue, of the life issue, and the free market issue. I think we're going to do much better this time because people are really frustrated about the federal government. Anyway, we're going to be at Huntington County Fair. We're going to have a table there. I don't know exactly when I'll be there because Friday, my wife and I are celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. I'll probably be there maybe Thursday, definitely Saturday, and maybe even Sunday. I think Sunday I'll be there as well because I'd love to meet all the people who come to the fair and let them know that help is on the way to make sure our federal government, the people who run the federal government, are adhering to the Constitution. And like I said, I wouldn't be in this race if the federal government had been adhering to the Constitution because we would have a much smaller government, less expenditures domestically. We wouldn't have troops all over the world, which is not the responsibility of the federal government to try to police the world. I think more and more people are realizing that, especially with being in Afghanistan after 17 years. There are troops in Afghanistan today who are infants. When we went into Afghanistan, that is mind-boggling. I mean, we defeated the Nazis and the Japanese in less than 4 years. And we're still in Afghanistan, 17 years. There's something wrong with this picture. And this picture is overreaching and trying to solve people's problems overseas through force of arms. And it doesn't work. We learned it didn't work in Korea. It didn't work in Vietnam. And those were two disasters that the American people had to deal with. 50s and 60s and 70s. So here we are in the 21st century, still trying to do the same thing we did back then. And we know what Albert Einstein said, when you do the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. That's the definition of insanity.
That is a...
We've got to go back to a foreign policy that I think Donald Trump is trying to give us, which is essentially keep our nose out of other people's businesses, let them figure out for themselves what's the best way to organize themselves, and use the State Department as a vehicle for diplomacy as opposed to using our military to police the world. And I think that's a message that's resonating, especially with young people. I think people across the political spectrum, across the demographic groups, they are just tired and tired of hearing how we think we can rule the world. We cannot rule the world. We have enough trouble ruling America. How are we going to rule the Middle East?
So all right.
I think that message is resonating with people throughout the state.
And I just want to remind everyone that you will be in Hunterdon County, or you will definitely have some staff in Hunterdon County for the fair. So people should come out and talk to you and let you have a discussion about what you're running on, your platform. We do have a link to your Facebook page on our social media account, Hot in Hunterdon, and then we'll put the podcast on. We are running out of time, though, but we want to thank you for exploring some of our questions and our philosophical scenarios, and we certainly appreciate you being forthright and sharing your story of how you came to be on the Libertarian U.S. Senate race.
Well, thank you so much, Regina. It's been a pleasure, and I think if people look at our platform, which is basically the initial philosophical platform of what founded this country, the principles that founded this country, the principles that are found in the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, this is the libertarian agenda of making America a free and prosperous country by having a limited government, by having peaceful relations around the world, to having community-based action called the nonprofit sector to help people become financially independent. And I think if people embrace that message, I will win this race. And that means we will make history. We'll have the first libertarian elected to the United States Senate. And it'll be great to have Bernie and me. We're both New York Jews. It would be great, Bernie and me, debating the great issues of the time in the well of the Senate.
Well, best luck to you. Thank you for joining us on our show. And we do have to get over to a commercial. And then we'll be back to wrap it up here.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is hosting a salute to heroes for ICE and CBP, recognizing them for their dangerous work and what they do to protect America's border. During his remarks, the president discussed the wall.
And the wall is getting longer and taller and stronger each and every day. We've spent and will soon be spending about $3.2 billion, and we're looking for about $5 billion for this next coming year. We're building the wall, and it's not easy because we have a little opposition called the Democrats. I guess they just don't mind crime. They don't mind crime. It's pretty sad.
Today, National Security Advisor John Bolton met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and the topic turned to Iran.
And I frankly believe that all countries who care about peace and security in the Middle East should follow America's lead and ratchet up the pressure on Iran.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
From the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama...
This is a bad time to be coming down off of that high.
...comes an epic tale.
I like war, but I wouldn't say I love it.
...of growing up.
Isn't there a point in everyone's life where they need to go figure out who they are?
In the dark ages.
I want to get rid of all the diseases plaguing mankind and replace them with worse ones.
Disenchantment.
Anybody looks at her, they get their head chopped off.
Boy, did I look at her.
Only on Netflix.
A South Florida priest has resigned.